I'd like to start by talking about something that I have gone through in my life, a life experience. I started out in a Baptist congregation. It was very sort of a narrow Baptist. They're not good at denominations, but we'll talk about denominations. But it was very narrow-minded in very many areas. And then I went to a Bible college, actually a Christian university, and I found out how many more people outside of Baptist really believe. Oh, wow, there's a lot of denominations, you know? But it was still very narrow at that place. And then I got involved in the Jesus People movement. Boy, that really blew my mind to realize how God could work with people that didn't have shirts and ties, but just beads and leather and girls that had jeans that were made into skirts by cutting everything out and putting material in the middle, and it was really strange. But you know, Rosemary and I went to a Jesus People commune, and they said, "Oh, look at those straights. Oh, they'll never last." Well, we lasted more than some of the Jesus People did. But anyway, then we went to Youth with a Mission, and Youth with a Mission, we began to see the same kind of attitude that was with the Jesus People, but it was spread out throughout the church denominations, and all these young people were coming from different denominations, and they were sharing. So I was beginning to see the dynamic diversity within the body of Christ. Finally, I came back to California. I went to New College, Berkeley, after I got my nursing degree, and then I began to see some people who believed in the Lord, but they had some liberal ideas that I never believed in. But they were followers of Jesus, and they really loved the Lord, and I got to see another dynamic. And through one of the people there, I was introduced to CFO Camp, Camp Farthest South. And I tell you, as far out as you can get, that's where we went with CFO. And we got to meet all kinds of people from so many different places. And all of this experience to me was showing me how large the body of Christ is. After CFO, some of the books I found on the table were from Christian mystics, and they related back to some of the monks and the nuns and so on that had written, and then Greek Orthodox people. And so I began to study them too, and I'll tell you, my mind continued to expand and saying, wow, by diversity in the body of Christ, how large the body of Christ is compared to my little tiny viewpoint that I started out with. And I continue to study, and I find I'm continuing even right now to study and find out more than I ever found out before about how diverse the body of Christ is and how there can be different beliefs about things that we can disagree on but can have fellowship with. Well, anyway, prior to Peter getting involved with Cornelius and in Caesarea going to preach the gospel there, he had been given a vision. And in this vision, he was seeing these meats that were unclean meats brought down from heaven, and the Lord said, "Slay and eat. Take, kill those animals and eat them." And he said, "Oh no!" Here's his response in Acts 10:14. He said, "Surely not, Lord." Peter replied, "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And that was the thing that Peter had to be told three times before he actually got the whole point. Now, Peter had already been breaking a social taboo. He was staying in the house of a tanner named Simon. A tanner works with dead animals, and he is perpetually unclean. Yet Peter was starting to stay in his house. Now that was a big step for Peter, because he was having fellowship with a Jewish person who was unclean all the time because he was a tanner. Well, God was stretching Peter. God was going to stretch him a little bit farther now, because God was not just wanting his gospel for the Jew, but also for the unclean Gentiles, those who were legally unclean by the Jewish law. You know, God was interested in the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's true. Jesus said so. God's very interested in Israel. But the point is that all people matter to God. God has his plan in specific time, and we see it unfolding in Scripture, but God has his eye on all people. And we've got to maintain that attitude as well, as he was showing Peter in this passage. This passage actually tells how differently we see people sometimes than God does. God sees people differently than we do. Or as humans historically have viewed one another many times with a lot of different prejudices. And God sees people, first of all, completely. He sees them entirely for who they are. God sees beyond the narrow definitions that we have for people. Sometimes we put people in a box. Even in Peter's day, they had that with the unclean and clean and so on, Gentiles and Jews. That was a huge base. In our time as well, sometimes we base things on race or job description, how what kind of vocation somebody has, or their nationality, or their belief system that may differ from ours. Well, God saw this man Cornelius completely. Now, he was a centurion. And every time we come across a centurion in Scripture, there's usually something good to say about them. Because basically, the Romans chose a centurion to be over 100 soldiers. He was no run-of-the-mill soldier. He was a soldier that showed himself with integrity and virtue and could really obey commands and that kind of thing. And he had a head on his shoulders. And you get to see that in Scripture. Every time you have a centurion mentioned in Scripture, they have God has something good to say about them. But the Jews did not like them necessarily. Why? Because they were symbol. They were Romans. They had come and they occupied Jerusalem and Judea. And they had conquered people. They were in charge of some of the people being executed. And so, no, they didn't like these people. They were sort of like enemies. But God saw beyond that. God saw beyond that. It says here that God saw that he was a God-fearing man in the passage that prior to what we have read. It says, about Cornelius. He and all of his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. That's what God was looking at. Okay, God saw completely. And he saw that this Cornelius guy was hungry for truth, hungry for spiritual growth, hungry for moral excellence. We see this when Peter, when he arrived. Here's what Cornelius said. He said, "So," because he had this dream, he said, "So I sent for you immediately. It was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God, ready to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us." Well, that's a good congregation. We're ready, David, to hear whatever God has commanded you to tell us. That's how I hope that you're always like that. And that's how Cornelius and his household and all the people that had gathered around him were like. But God saw also completely Peter. God sees us completely. He saw Peter completely. And he didn't see Peter just as Peter the great fisherman, the big fisherman they called him, or Peter the first apostle, the apostle that was sort of like the main leader apostle. He didn't see him just that way either. He saw him as a man in conflict. A man in conflict. You see, God was reaching out beyond Peter's comfort zone. God was reaching out to those that didn't fit into Peter's preconceived idea of what the people of God should be like. You know? Now, if you were in a congregation where Rosa and I attended as the Jesus people, you would see people setting all before barefoot, some just dressed in outfits that you'd think were just for working outside, or some kind of costumes, actually. If you remember seeing Jesus people, and not just Jesus people, but the hippie movement, they wore strange things. And you could tell where hippie was. Well, these people up there were attending church that way. Some of them were nursing their babies right down in front of on the ground, right in during the church service and everything. They didn't have the same kind of inhibitions that we do, and they were accepted by God. God was reaching out. We saw phenomenal growth. We saw people reaching out there. Some of these people were missionaries and have reached out to thousands of people. And they started in that little group of Jesus people. So, boy, it doesn't necessarily fit into our conception that God's reaching out. Now Peter was being stretched, but God saw Peter this way. He saw him as a teachable person, a person who could be taught. Now he had to have the vision repeated three times until he got the point. Sometimes we have to see things more than once so that we get the point. But Peter became willing to break with a very powerful, very peer group pressure type of social taboo. He was ready to break with that social taboo in order to reach people for God. He was being obedient. He was being teachable. God saw that in Peter. I recently read of a missionary couple. They were sent to a tribe that were a tribe of people who their whole community was naked. And they had trouble reaching this tribe. They were not making any progress. Until one day, their own children were outside in front, bathing in the nude. And some of these villagers stopped by, and they started talking with the missionary. This is the first breakthrough. And the husband and wife started praying about what they should do, and they finally decided upon this. They decided that to have social contact with their neighbors, they would go to their villages just like their neighbors with no clothing. You know something? They were well received. They began to be able to share the gospel. They planted a church and had a lot of members. And then they found out something. Why their neighbors would not get near them. They thought literally that they were dumb. They thought they were demented. They were deranged. Because here they were, wearing clothing in 100-degree weather. They said, that's crazy. And so, this missionary couple, I just bet that was not in any of their minds when they were saying, well, we'll follow you, Lord. We'll go to the mission field. It was not in their mind that they were going to go preaching news. I bet you not. You think that? I don't think so. Neither was it in Peter's mind that God was going to say, Peter, follow me. And if you know this, and I'm going to take you and put you among these unclean people, these Gentiles. But Peter knew Jesus, and we know Jesus. He was willing to follow Jesus. He was willing to be what Jesus wanted him to be, even if it meant breaking a very, very strict social taboo. And you read the scripture, you'll see how much that taboo is. It's very strong. He was willing to go against it, to cross a barrier so he could reach people for Jesus, because all people matter to God. He sees us completely. He sees us men and women. He sees us sons and daughters. He sees us in our nationality. He sees us in our race. He sees all of us. And yet, no matter, he sees what kind of personalities we have too, you know, some people that we have trouble getting along with. He sees that. And yet, he wants everybody to be in his family. He wants that invitation to be open to everybody. He also sees people clearly. Sometimes we play favorites with people. We see people through a false lenses. We see people through their social status, maybe that's their monetary status, or maybe through their power, what kind of power and clout they have, or what kind of fame they have. And that's how we see we're attracted to those kind of people, but not to the people that don't have those things. That's sometimes how our vision sort of is clouded. But God's vision is clear. Peter said when he began to speak, now I realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism based on those kinds of things. God sees people for who they are and for what they can become, what their potential is, the worth of their soul. Gordon MacDonald shares a story about after a preaching service that he had, this black man came up and told him the story of why he was bitter against white people for 35 years. He had been at 16 years old going at a gasoline station into a restroom. There was no sign that marked that he couldn't do that. And a white man came in, literally took him bodily out and threw him outside and said, and he complained back. He said, well, there was no sign or anything. He said, you're not a man. You're an animal. That caused this man to have bitterness for 35 years. And it's terrible. And hopefully, the message of love that Gordon MacDonald was preaching got through that fellow. But that white guy was probably worse than a beast, acting worse than a beast. to say that. But God loved both of them. And God knew both of them and knew why that white man had that prejudice before, but was still reaching out to him as well. God reaches out to everybody because we are all of worth, no matter what we've done, even if it was cruel as this guy was. God reaches out to us. And God sees us clearly. He sees the potential that we have. You know, he looked at Saul of Tarsus, who was in fact persecuting the church. One of his wonderful believers, Stephen, was being stoned by the authorization of Saul of Tarsus. And yet God saw in Saul of Tarsus Paul the apostle would be the greatest missionary in history. We say, wow, God's vision is better than ours, bigger than ours. God sees the potential of people clearly. And God sees people's dreams, what their dreams are of being better than they are. You know, a lot of people have dreams of doing better, of accomplishing more for God. And those are the kind of dreams that God, he wants to fulfill in us by filling us with his Holy Spirit that can make those dreams come alive. God plays no favorites. God sees people for what they are and who they are, and all people matter to God. He sees us clearly. He sees our value. He sees our potential. He sees our dream of being having spiritual growth. He sees that. And I'm hoping that this season, as we enter into Lenten time, that we'll be pursuing that kind of growth. He wants us to be fulfilled, truly fulfilled, in the salvation he has provided for in Christ. And finally, God sees people compassionately. Now, God sent Peter to the house of Cornelius because he wanted Cornelius to hear this message. This is the message that Peter preached. He said, you know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Jerusalem after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now the religious leaders in Peter's time, they often pushed away the unclean. They often pushed away those who were sin defiled. You know, the prostitutes and the tax collectors and so on. They pushed away the demon bedraggled people, people who were demon possessed. They didn't want to have anything, so those were unclean people. But this Jesus was anointed to bring those kind in. And the good news that Peter was sharing with Cornelius was that message. That message. Because they were Gentiles. They knew who they were as far as the Jews were concerned. They were unclean. They knew what they were doing when they were asking a Jew to come talk to them. They were asking a Jew to break his social boundaries. And who will hear this message? This message of God's compassion and God's passion for people? It will be the people who have been ridiculed because of their race. It will be the people who have been suffered pain and hurt through broken marriages. It will be the people who have often slipped and then gotten up and then slipped and fallen again back into sin. You know, those are the kind of people that churches many times shun. They sort of, yeah, we'll accept them, but they won't bring them into the group. God wants to bring those kind of people in. Maybe they aren't have a religious background. Maybe they have a sordid background. God wants to bring those people in. That's the message that God has. And we, like Peter, must sometimes leave our comfort zone and go and break into another social comfort zone that is different than our level, you know, in order to reach people for God. Because what does it say in Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20? We are his ambassadors. You know, Jesus made us his disciples for that reason, so that we might be ambassadors for him. We cannot declare the message of Christ's passion alone, just verbally. We've got to show it by going among the people that we're declaring it with, even if they're not part of our comfort zone. And as important as godly guidelines are, You know, there's godly guidelines we have for our lives in these times. Some of them are in scripture, some of them are just contrived that we have ourselves. God is not passionate about rules and regulations. What God is compassionate and passionate about is about people. He's a compassionate about people. He sees people completely. He sees them clearly. And he sees them compassionately. But how will others know about this compassion? You know, Jesus is not down here right now anymore. He lives in the hearts of his people. How will others know about this compassion unless we approach them with this message as his ambassadors? As his ambassadors. Treating them as he treated his people. Treating them like he treated people. Showing them that they matter to God. Because all people matter to God. Showing them that they matter by showing them that they matter to us personally. That's the message. All people matter to God. No matter where they are, no matter what social level they're at, no matter what nationality, race, color, sex, or anything they are, we need to cross the barrier so that we can reach them. That's God. Father God, thank you that we can declare your passion for people, and we cannot be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of any social barrier. We know that what you have made clean, what you have made sure, we cannot declare unclean. Because, Lord, you want people to be saved. You want people to be invited into your kingdom. God, have mercy upon us, that we might be stretched a little, that we might be stretched out of our comfort zone. Maybe to meet people, to talk to people that they're just not in our social circle. I pray, Father God, we might this year, this season, be able to reach out to people and draw them to yourself. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.